Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Today, I'm starting a new series that I have entitled Quiet Time. Quiet time, in short, just to summarize, is the time that you spend with God. Are you listening to me? So we call it quiet time. Some people call it devotion. It's got all sorts of names. What you call it doesn't matter. But it's what you do during that time. And the fact that you have that time, that is the thing that matters. Hallelujah. So today and for the next couple of weeks, I'll be teaching you on this very important subject of spending personal quality time with God. When I was learning the keyboard, and every time I talk to Garabo, you know, we always come to the same conclusion. There is no shortcut in learning the keyboard. If you don't practice, you don't get better. Simple and short. There's no, you don't just wake up and suddenly you know something you didn't know. You have to practice, 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 practice. And by continual practice, you become better. And you become a good player. And you become a brilliant player. Are you listening to me? Now, it is very much the same when it comes to your relationship with God. You don't just wake up one morning and suddenly you are God's best friend. It doesn't work like that. You need to spend time with Him. You need to spend time with Him. So as a Christian, it is very important that in your day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, in your daily life, you schedule some time where you spend with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening to me, somebody? Amen. It is very, very important. If you don't practice this, you know, behavior, you will never grow closer to God. You'll be lying to yourself. You cannot grow closer to a person unless you spend more and more time with that person. It's very simple. There's no magic to it. Hallelujah. So it is very important that we all, it's not for pastors, it's for Christians. We must all schedule time for God. We must all schedule time on a daily basis. I said when? What does on a daily basis mean? Every day. You must schedule time with God. You cannot cheat yourself from this one. This is the most important thing that you can do in your life. Amen. I said amen. Amen. You know, it becomes very worrying at times where you meet a Christian and sometimes you find that the person has been a Christian longer than you've been alive. Did you hear what I said? Longer than you have been alive, the person has been a Christian. But can't quote one scripture. Just one. Last week I said something that I felt that God really wanted me to say. That when you go through experiences in life, some are good, some are bad. It is very important that you do not allow the emotion of what you are feeling to determine your behavior. I wonder if you understand what I'm saying. Your behavior must be subjected to the word of God at all times. You feel pain, you feel whatever. Sometimes it's not even pain. Sometimes some of us get so happy that, you know, I feel like drinking something. I'm so happy. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. So even if you are happy, your joy must be subjected to the word of God. must be subject to the word of God. Amen. But how can you be subject to the word of God if you don't take some time in your life on a daily basis to read what God says about every situation of life? That's why many Christians are easily deceived, because they don't know what is written. And Satan cannot be destroyed by money. You can't take money and say, Satan, wait. You can't do that with Satan. When Satan came against Jesus, the Lord Jesus said, it is written. That's how you defeat him. There's no other way to defeat him. It is written. If you ever take the time to listen to me pray, I always quote scripture in my praying. Because it's not by my much talking that will defeat the devil, but it is by the word that I speak that I disempower him. I've always told you of this experience I had one day. I suddenly saw myself waking up on my bed. And when I woke up, I saw a woman sitting. Back then, I used to have a chair next to my computer. And I saw a woman sitting on that chair. I was surprised because I don't know this woman. And how did you enter the house? Do you see? So I stood up from the bed and I said to her, who are you? And when I asked her who you are, she stood up and she just did this. When she did this, I flew and hit the wall. It was like a movie. And she was just doing this and she was hitting me without touching me. And at one point, she was holding me on the neck without touching me, just like this. And my feet were not touching the ground. And I was being strangled. A thought came to my heart that today is the day I die. I realized that this woman has come to kill me. That's her agenda. And as I was standing there, afraid, terrified, I remembered a scripture. Someone say scripture. And I remembered 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Just by me thinking about that scripture, I started developing confidence in my heart. All of a sudden, I looked her eyeball to eyeball. And she started noticing that, hey, man, this person is different. And she started moving backwards. And she started moving. And I started seeing fear on her face. And she started moving backwards. And then she disappeared. Then all of a sudden, I woke up. I realized that I was dreaming. I woke up. When I woke up, when I tried to move, I can't move. I said, hey, man, today is today. And I tried to move. I couldn't move. I tried to move. I couldn't move. And then I was trying everything. Then I'm like, let me try to first open my eyes to see what is this thing that is holding me. When I forced my eyes open, I saw a snake had wrapped me around. From my feet all the way to my head, I was wrapped. And the more I fought, do you know how a snake kills? The constricting types. When you move, it tightens. When you move, it tightens. That's what was happening to me. Just after defeating this woman, now I'm in there. Like, not another day, same day. And I said, oh God. And I tried and I tried. Then a voice, a small, still voice, said to me, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to help you? And I said to myself, I almost forgot that he is here. Then I said in my heart, Holy Ghost, please help me. Immediately, without control, I started speaking in tongues. The snake disappeared, and that's how I survived. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just showing you the power of the Word of God. That day or that morning, the enemy had an agenda to kill me. But the word of God in me, I couldn't call my pastor at that moment. I couldn't call the prayer warriors at that moment. But the word that was in me, God used it to save me. Hallelujah. So it is very, 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 very important to spend time with God. And when I say spend time with God, I mean spend time with His word. Spend time praying every single day of your life. Hallelujah. Can I hear a lot of amen?
Amen.
All right. Come with me to the book of Romans, chapter 7. We will read from verse 14. I want to show you some very powerful something there. Romans, chapter 7. We are reading from verse 14. Are you there? The Bible says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." I'm sure you know the scripture, right? Verse 15. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." In other words, I want to do the right thing, but how to perform that which is good, I don't know. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. I like the scripture. I like it when men and women, when men of God or women of God in the Bible are genuine, where they face problems that we face. Do you understand? Because sometimes when you are reading, it's like you are reading about a superhero, something that you can't do. But when they are genuine and true, it feels, you know, more personal to me. Now, how many of us here can relate to what Paul is saying? That there are things that you know are good to do, but you find yourself not doing them. And there are things that you know that I should not do, but that's the thing, with ease, no resistance, you just find yourself doing. Have we all noticed something like that in your life before? Today I'm going to help all of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what scares me about what Paul said here is that he said, you know, when you read it in another version, he says that my mind wants to do something. Because he said, I agree with the word of God that it is good. So, the word of God is in agreement. Your mind is in agreement with the word of God. This is good. But to do that good thing is difficult. And Paul explains why this is the case. He says that in his flesh, that is where sin dwells. Sin dwells in the flesh. Sin dwells in your body. Your physical body, that's where this virus called sin lives. And Paul says something very important here. He says that that sin that is living in your body is stronger than your mind. Because your mind wants to do good. But even though your mind wants to do good, the sin that is living in you is stronger than the mind that is telling you do good. Are you listening to me? That's why in verse 24 he said, oh, wretched man that I am. In other words, he was saying, who can help me? Who can help me? Even if it has nothing to do, you know, with the work of God per se. Even just, I was praying for the learners today. Even just to, you know that I want to study, right? And I know that studying is good. And I know that if I study, I will pass. But you find yourself hour after hour after hour, before you know it, you are asleep. You haven't opened the book. Sometimes if you are strong enough to even open the book, you know, the book will rather look at you instead of you looking at the book. Before you know it, a couple of hours before you write, now you want to swallow a whole textbook. Now you want to download the whole textbook in a few hours. What a shock. So it's not just in terms of sinning per se, but general life. There are good things that you know that you should do, but you just end up not doing it. And there are bad things that you know that I shouldn't do. And your mind is telling you what you are doing is wrong, but you find yourself in it fully. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to chapter 8. Verse 1. Are you there? There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? Are you here? After what? I can't hear you. After the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. I love it. So Paul is saying that the only way to overcome that sinful nature is by the Holy Spirit. That is the only way that you'll be able to do that is good to do and to stop doing that which is bad to do is by the Holy Spirit. He says there's no other way. He says that when the Spirit comes, that's when you become free from the law of the flesh. That's when the flesh loses its power to control you. Are you listening to me? Amen. I mean, sometimes when you watch the news, you hear that an infant has been raped by an adult. What kind of madness? An infant raped by an adult. It means that there is a sickness in this adult. There's a sickness. A sickness. The other day I was talking to someone and the person was quoting the scripture that we've just read without them knowing that they are quoting to me. He said to me, Pastor, I grew up in church. But when I came to Pretoria, chose my boy name, the city of lights. She said to me, everything went haywire. That's what she said to me. Come on, Agambon. I never knew that's what it's called. My mother can't see. But it makes sense. One day I asked a lady, I said, what do you want to do when you finish matric? She said, as long as I'm far from home. So it doesn't matter what I do. I must just be far from home. So this person said, when she came to Pretoria, her life just went haywire. And she says that to, she said to me, Pastor, now I want to go back to the house of the Lord, but I can't. So the only way to overcome the law of sin that is living in your body is by the Holy Spirit. It's not by intelligence. It's not by, you know, willpower. It is only by the Holy Spirit. That is the only way you can overcome sin in your flesh. It's the only way. If you are spiritual, you being close to the Holy Ghost is the only way that you can overcome. When you become close to the Holy Spirit, let's say, for example, your sin is what? Give me an example of sin. Give me an example. Because if I say it, someone will say that pastor was talking about me. Sorry? Stealing. Let's say stealing is your sin, you know? I mean, there are people who just can't, like, I mean, even if they have a phone, but if they see your phone, there's like something, they feel itchy. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's say, for example, that is a problem that you have. When you start having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, what you will notice is that the appetite to steal suddenly disappears. It just, now you can even look at the phone and say, oh, okay. Sometimes you don't even notice that it's even there. But you know yourself that, hey, back in the day, I would have dealt with it. So that is the power of being in the Spirit. You lose the appetite for sin. It just goes away. It's so powerful. You know, when I look back in my life, I can't remember the day where I say I'm going to stop sinning. I just realized as I just got closer to God, that appetite just disappeared. Just disappeared. So that is the power of being close to the Holy Spirit. You will be able to overcome sin. He helps you to be holy. That is why the children of Israel could not be close to God, no matter how much God tried. Because in those days, the Holy Spirit was not released upon all flesh. In those days, the Holy Spirit was upon certain few. Mostly it was on the prophets. And the rest of the congregation did not have the Holy Spirit. So when you don't have the Holy Spirit, no matter what God can say, even if God himself can appear to you, you will still, when he goes away, you go back to what you know you shouldn't do. You'll be afraid for one day and say, hey, I'm stopping. But within a week, you are back. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, this is where the power of quiet time comes in. Because your closeness of the Holy Spirit, your closeness to the Holy Spirit is dependent on that personal quiet time that you do daily. The more you separate time in your life, let's say in the morning. I like the morning more because everyone is asleep. Nobody will call you that time. Because a phone is one major disturbance to the presence of God. But in the morning, most people are asleep. So even your phone cannot disturb you. You sit down, you read your Bible. Simple. For me to know scriptures, that's how I knew them. I didn't have a vision where Jesus said, my son, from today you know scripture. Nothing like that. And I don't know anyone who had any type of experience like that. Every day I wake up, I read. Today I'm reading Genesis chapter 1 and I read. Let's say I stop on chapter 3. I go on with my day. Next morning, where did I leave? Chapter 3. I continue chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and so on and so forth. Simple. There's no magic to it. You just need to Tell yourself that during this time, every day, I spend time with God. It's called quiet time. And the more you do that religiously, you will notice that slowly but surely, you are getting closer to Jesus. And the more you do that, you realize that the power of sin is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller in your life. That is why it is important for every believer. If you call yourself a believer, you must have your quiet time every day, religiously. It must be part of your life. The way you eat food every day, the way you drink water every day, you also need to read the Bible every day. You also need to pray every day. If you don't do these things, I promise you, I don't care how powerful you are, I don't care who's your mother or your father, you will never overpower sin. Never. And sin leads to destruction. Sin leads to death. The only way to overpower that thing in you that stops you from doing good is by being close to the Spirit. No shortcut whatsoever. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I often tell people that some of the most dangerous people to be close to are Christians. Because some Christians can say, you know, don't just look at pastor. You know, you must also have a girlfriend. Oh. See, when it comes from a Christian, like, how will you know that this woman can have children? How will you know? You must try to have a child with her now. One day, a Christian, a full Christian, came to me and said, Pastor Isha, I've got a problem. I said, oh, sister, what's your problem? That sister was not married, and she said, Pastor, my boyfriend and I, we are struggling to have children. We are struggling to have children. How? I said to her, sister, before you can tell me struggling to have children, tell me marriage first. Then we can discuss this children business. Then she said to me, but pastor, he said to me that, you know, he wants to see whether I can have children first. How can he marry me if I can't have children? I said to the sister, it means that he doesn't love you. If he loves you, he will marry you, he will be with you, whether you can have children or not have children. I listen to me. The answer is being close to the Holy Spirit. You will never go wrong when you get close to the Holy Spirit. Because you can know the word of God, like Paul said. He said, I know the law, and I know that it is good. And he said that I'm in agreement with it, but to do. And in chapter 8, he explains, he says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, then the power of sin and the flesh, you know, I can overpower it. And the only way to be close to the Spirit is by the spending time daily with God. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
You know, when I used to be a soccer player back in the day, you know, when you look at me now, you don't see any soccer. But I used to be a soccer player. Someone was asking me about my brothers. Like, are they still playing soccer? I said, yeah, one of them is still playing, the other one is not playing anymore. And I was telling them that, you see, it's just that these boys won't tell you. I taught them how to play. I used to be a proper soccer player. But anyway, today for a short time, I want to talk about 7 steps to an effective quiet time. 7 steps to an effective quiet time. Amen. Back in the day when we used to play soccer, you know, the soccer teams that do the basics very well were often the strongest teams. Are you listening to me? Yeah. You know, South Africa is one of the weakest, like the national team, Bafana Bafana. One of the ministers even called them a bunch of losers, who was a minister of sports back in the day. You know, Bafana Bafana and lately Orlando Pirates, sometimes they make me feel that if I watch them, I curse them by watch, so I must stop watching their games so that they can win. Amen. And you'll see that some of the best teams in the world are European teams. And you'll see that all they do is trap pass, basics, and they're the best in the world. Our soccer players, he can trap it, he can kick it, he can hold it here, he can, but we are a bunch of losers. What a shock. So sometimes you find Christians, I remember one day I went to preach at a high school. And when I finished preaching, some young girl, short like this, came to me and said, "I am prophetess so-and-so." I said, "You are already ordained as a prophetess." I said, "You are bigger than me." In those days, I was Brother Kola, brother. And she was introducing as a prophetess. So many people, they want to skip the foundation. They want to skip learning, you know, the basic things that you must learn that will make you great in any field that you are in. So also in terms of your relationship with God, there are basics that you cannot do without. Some people call themselves prophet. Some people call themselves an evangelist someone. Do you know what is an evangelist? And you have called yourself an evangelist something. Evangelists are soul winning machines. You've not won one soul, but you are already, you are leaving the basics. You are in a hurry for other things that you shouldn't be in a hurry for. Are you listening to me? Now, when you do quiet time, you are becoming someone who, you know, is building a strong foundation of basics of Christianity. That Christianity is relationship with God. The ones who are closer to God are more powerful than those who are not closer to God. It's very simple. And God doesn't have favorites. He doesn't have. It all depends on you. Are you listening to me? Will you spend time with Him? The one who spends more time with Him is the one who is more powerful. It's very simple. It's not that God favors this one more than the other one. Are you listening to me? Amen. Now, the first step to an effective quiet time is that you must begin with prayer. Amen. So, let's say, for example, you choose that I'm going to have my quiet time from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. every day. So when you wake up, the first thing that you do is you pray. Do you understand? Amen. Hello, am I talking to somebody here?
Amen.
Pray. Back in the day when I began, you know, I used to do this because where I was raised, the church I was raised in, this is what we were taught. And so I started practicing this thing. And I used to pray for about 10, 15 minutes because I gave myself an hour. I said, I must at least spend an hour with God every day. So I'll pray for 10, 15 minutes, then I'll run out of things to say. Like I literally would run out of things to say. But I want to encourage you that Even if you pray for 5 minutes, but if you have given yourself an hour, just stay that whole hour. Don't listen to hip hop during that hour. Don't touch your phone during that hour. Don't watch TV during that hour. Even though you've run out of things to say, just sit there. Begin it with prayer. One of the things that we teach here in our church, which also is something we learned from the church I was raised in, is what we call ACTS. A-C-T-S. That when you pray, start by adoring God. Jesus said, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, he said, pray like this, and he said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, worship him, adore him, love him, tell him he's good. So, I'm teaching you how to pray. Hello? Because I know someone sitting here is like, hey, Pastor, Angaz. All right, this is how you do it. Start by worshiping him, adoring him. Then C, confess. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you all your sins. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh Lord, this is you now praying. Please forgive me of my sins. When I was walking on the streets, I saw Susan. Mudimwaga. And then you confess. All right. Oh, Lord, today I lied. I lied. Please forgive me. Have mercy on me for my lying. I know it is wrong. And I humble myself. Please forgive me. So, the first one is A, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you for giving me life. I thank you that I have a roof that I live under. I thank you that I have a bed to sleep on. I thank you that I have clothes to wear. Lord, you have been good to me. I want to give all the glory back to you. I mean, you are praying. Can you not see you are praying? Amen. And then the last one is S. S stands for supplication. Supplication is now to say, Lord, as I'm going to work, I need a promotion, please. Please let my boss give me a promotion. Now you are talking things that you want. Before you know it, 15 minutes, 30 minutes are gone. You have prayed. So begin your quiet time with what? Prayer. With prayer. Number two. The second step is that you must read. Read the Bible. So after praying, just sit down and read. Lucia, listen to me. You read. Now, Mamrudi, please borrow me your Bible. Just the Bible only. Now, also reading the Bible, some people overcomplicate it. There are people, seriously, without joke, I'm not joking here, when they read the Bible, they just... And then they start reading. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, to such as keep his covenant. Like you don't even know where this is coming from, where it began, where it started. You will never ever, you will be discouraged. You'll stop reading, I promise you. So, the way that I always encourage people to read the Bible is read it like a storybook. Start somewhere and follow the story. And then you won't get bored because you are following a story, isn't it? That's why today we've got things like series, ne? It's called series, yeah. Because people are following the story. Oh, they shot that one yesterday. I want to see what's going to happen today. You see, you are following the storyline. So I often encourage people, start at the book of Matthew. chapter 1, verse 1, and read. If the time that you have will take you to chapter 2, verse 5, stop there. Get a little paper and put it in your Bible. You know, if your Bible doesn't have like this thing, you see, then get something and just put it where you stopped. Then go about your day. Go to work, go to school, do whatever it is that you do. In the morning again, the next day, you just, where did I leave off? And then you continue from where you stopped. Don't do Russian roulette with your Bible. You will never grow. You will never be close to the Holy Spirit. And you will never be able to overpower sin in your body. All of us have sin in our body. All of us. There's no exception. Are you listening to me? Yeah. The only one who didn't have it was Jesus. And that is because, you know, he was virgin born. Hey! So, first thing, pray. Second thing, read your Bible. All right? And don't be mysterious. There's no magic to it. Just start somewhere and follow the story. Just follow the story. When you finish the whole book of Matthew, go to the next one, Mark, and continue. Luke, continue. John, continue. I think Acts follows. Continue. Just, it's a storybook. Follow it. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Amen. Number three, you must meditate on what you have read. So when you finish reading, let's say you started at Matthew, you've read chapter 1, chapter 2, whatever. Now, sit down, put your Bible down, and think about what you are reading. What have I read? What have I learned? What have I understood? These are the questions you must ask yourself. What have I read? What have I learned? What have I understood? And one of the most important questions that you must ask yourself is, what must I practice from what I read? Kwaphelo, amen. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Yeah. So you meditate, you think. You see, most of the time when you read the Bible, right, I normally don't stop until something strikes me. Something in what I'm reading must cause me to, I didn't see this. Or why did this happen? You know? As I'm reading, I'm looking for those things. Once I've found those things, when I finish reading, I now start thinking about it deeply. Why did this thing happen? Sometimes after reading, I don't understand. And I'll ask myself, but I don't understand. Why did this happen? And I always feel that when you read the Bible and you don't understand, but you want to understand, you are close to an answer. You are better than the person who's not reading at all. Someone say, meditate.
Yeah.
Meditating on the word of God is very, very important. That's what God told Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. One day I was reading somewhere around Matthew chapter 5, and there was a scripture there about greeting. And I said, huh? Greeting is important. I didn't know. So I told myself, you know, from today I will start greeting people. So I greet. I don't greet because my nature is, you know, me, I'm just a person who greets people. No, I read it And I said, if I see it in the Bible, I must do it. And so I started practicing. That's why sometimes I'll be surprised. I'll see my church member and I'll be, hey, and maybe I'll be driving. Ah, and the person will act like, that time they saw me. What a shock. Tell a neighbor, say, neighbor, you must meditate on the word. Hallelujah. Think about it deeply. It's very important. If you don't spend the time to think about it, it's like you are wasting time, because most of the understanding comes during the session of meditating, thinking about it, considering it. How can I apply what I've read to my life? That's where the power is, in the meditation process. Are you listening to me? Number, what are we on? Number four. Write down what the Lord tells you. Write down what the Lord tells you. So, you wake up, you pray. When you finish praying, you read. When you finish reading, you meditate. Within that process, listen to me. Within that process, surely something will strike you. You will learn something. So whatever that is, you write it down. Writing down helps you to remember. It helps you to, you know, cause it to stick in your mind. And the more you keep meditating on it, it goes into your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? So write down. You write. Oh, today I learned 1, 2, 3. Today I learned 1, 2, 3. Today I learned 1, 2, 3. You know, I don't know if some of you have noticed. Sometimes when I'm praying, especially when we come here on Saturdays, I'll be praying. And while I'm praying, you'll note that I will take my phone and I'll start. I'm not on WhatsApp. I've just received something and I want to write it down before I forget. Because if you don't write it down, I tell you, by the time you come back home from wherever, it's gone completely. So you must write it down so that it will stick and stay. It's also when it comes to dreams. Some people, when they wake up, you know, like you are already late for something. You're gone. When you have dreamt, you have to sit down, recollect the dream. See the dream in your mind. When you do that process, it stays. If you don't do that process, it disappears. Have you not noticed you'll be like, yeah, today I dreamt something, but I forgot. I know I dreamt something. It's because you woke up like Usain Bolt. You are ready to run somewhere. Amen. So I have learned that when God gives me something, I run to write it down. And so now the technology on our phones have a notebook. So sometimes wherever I am, I will just pa 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 pa. I can show you my notes now. This is, okay, I don't know who's gonna. Can you see? These are my notes. Don't read, just. These are my notes. As I'm just praying sometimes, as I'm reading the Bible, I'll receive something and I write quickly. Amen. So make sure that whatever you receive from your quiet time, you write it down. Very, very important. Amen. And finally, make sure that you end your quiet time with prayer. You started with prayer, you ended with prayer. You started with what? And you ended with what? Yeah. What will mostly happen is that whatever it is that God has spoken to you during your quiet time, you know, one of the things that you have to learn is to say, Lord, help me to practice what I have read. Sometimes God will teach you about forgiveness. Tell him, help me to forgive. Help me to practice forgiveness in my life. It can be difficult. I listen to me. Sometimes he will talk to you about faith or trusting in him. Because sometimes things happen in life where you'll be tempted to leave God. So start praying about it. The minute he teaches you about it, when you are closing your quiet time, talk to him about that. Say, Lord, I've seen. Your word says if you look at a woman and you lust over her, you have sinned. Ha! One time, this young rich man came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to, you know, inherit eternal life? And they had that whole conversation. And then Jesus said to him that, go and sell everything that you have and come and follow me. And the Bible says the rich man left sad and disappointed. Then Jesus said, it is extremely difficult for a rich man to enter into eternal life. He said that it is like, you know, a camel trying to go through the eye of a needle. When the disciples heard that, they said, ah, then who will be saved? Because everyone wants to be rich. And if you are saying, if you are rich, it's difficult for you to go to heaven. His disciples said, then who can be saved? Because we all want money. True or not true? Then Jesus said, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. In other words, you must be close to God. Oh? Whether you are rich or not rich, keep being close to God. And he will lead you to heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, end your quiet time with prayer. Just tell the Lord that, Lord, this is what I've learned. Please help me in this thing so that I can be pleasing unto you. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. 7 steps to an effective quiet time. If you are a member of Healing Fire Ministries, I want to encourage you to do this practice every day.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Komota, are you listening to me? Every single day. And I've shown you what to do. If you do it the way I've shown you, an hour will go like that. Pastor, me, I don't know how to pray. I've taught you. Simple. Very simple. You can pray now for a long time. You can talk to God for a long time. And let this be your daily practice. And then you'll start seeing that as you do it every day, you'll start noticing the presence of God. As you do it every day, you'll start having a relationship with God. And before you know it, the appetite of sin will disappear. Suddenly when we say, come for prayer, you say, hey, let us go to praise the Lord. Hey, sing with me. Let us go to praise the Lord. Hey! Then you must go, bam, 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 on the keyboard. Hallelujah. When I say we are fasting, let us go and praise the Lord. Let us go and praise the Lord. Bam, bam. Hey, this keyboard player. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, someone who is in love with God is like a mad person. I remember one day my mother sat me down. Many years ago. She sat me down on the bed. Those days my mother used to come. Before she goes to work, she wants to talk a whole conversation. You know, when you are talking with someone who's waking out of sleep, then she will come in during the day, have you done this? I said, what are you talking about? Because I was half asleep. So one day she sat me down and she said, son, we don't know you anymore in this house. Who are you? Hey! So, who are you? We don't know you anymore. Because those days, my life, I wake up in the morning and pray. and they'll be going to work, going to school, and I'll be praying. When I finish praying, I read the Bible. When they are coming back from school, I'm going to church. When I come back from church, they are asleep. And that was my life every single day. Until one day my mother came to me and said, "Who are you? We don't know you anymore." And how I used to encourage myself those days is I remember that Jesus' family never understood why Jesus behaved the way he did. But when he was on the cross, then they said, "Ah, indeed, this one was the Son of God." And I will encourage myself and say, one day they will understand why I behave the way I do. But you can't do these things unless you are close to him. Close to him. Close to him. And there's no shortcut. You must have your quiet time every day. Hallelujah. As we close, I just want you to talk to the Lord and ask him to help you. Some of you, what I'm preaching about, you know it. You know quiet time, you've been taught. But some of us, we have stopped doing the simple, basic things that we have to do. We spend time with God every day. I want you to talk to him. Some of us must say, "Lord, please forgive me. I'm coming back." Some of us must, we didn't know this. Some of us, we are hearing this for the first time. So ask God to help you. To help you to begin to do your quiet time, spending time with him every single day. God said that we are robbing him in tithes and in offering. Tithes are not only in money. Tithes are also in time. In your 24-hour day, you don't spend 1 minute with God. 24-hour day. You don't give him 1 minute. 24-hour day. You don't give him 1 minute. If you look at time relative to tithing, you must at least spend 2 hours and 40 minutes with God every day, minimum, if you want to tithe your time. But all I'm asking for is at least 1 hour. Hallelujah. And those who want more with time, they will spend more and more time with Jesus. Hallelujah. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Ask him to help you. Ask him to forgive you. Lord, we cannot overpower the sin that is living in us. Even though we know the word, we cannot overpower. We will keep doing the wrong things. The only way to overpower sin that is in our flesh is by being close to you. And Lord, there is no shortcut to being close. We have to spend time with you. So I ask you. I ask you, oh God, as the priest over this house, as your servant, that you'll help each and every one of us to dedicate and consecrate time in our lives and give it to you daily. Whether we choose evenings, whether we choose mornings, whatever they choose, I pray, help them to commit themselves to this and to do it religiously. This is our prayer, Lord, this morning. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree with this prayer, can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah. Put your hands together one more time for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. God bless you.